God, you are as near as the very air we breathe, yet farther than the farthestmost star. We yearn to reach you. We seek the light and warmth of your presence. Though we say you are near, we are lonely and alone. Oh, let our desire be so strong that it will tear the veil that keeps you from our sight. Let your light release our darkness and reveal the glory and joy of your presence. As the fish gives himself to the sea, as the bird gives herself to the air, so may we give ourselves to you. Amen. Okay, so Stephen, remember, can I say your names just so he knows who you are?
Stephen.
Coralie.
I don't know your names, so.
Well, I wasn't going to say. You asked if we wanted to.
Okay.
I'm Jeff.
I'm Lori.
I'm Doug.
I'm Jureen.
I'm Doug also.
Yes.
Another two Dougs.
Yeah.
It's the white hair club.
The Q-tips.
Your name is Doug. Sit over here. Yesterday we played Jeopardy with kind of biblical literacy stuff and... It was about dialogue, so we did he said, she said, and the sayings of some sayings of Jesus and animals in the Bible and things like that.
Who said in town?
Yeah, they're pretty biblically literate, and
thank you.
I went to seminary at PLTS, and some other friends were taking Bible classes in the other seminaries. And had to know a lot more. I mean, they had to know, they would have tests on dates and, you know, things. Did you have that?
One class, professor, yeah.
And I was really sad later in the parish that I didn't have that kind of biblical education because, you know, people really depended on me to know the Bible and I didn't know it nearly well enough. Mm-hmm. But now I write curriculum for kids, so I'm in the Bible a lot. And it's a crazy book, isn't it? I thought about that, you know, when we read the story yesterday of Abraham and Isaac and the sacrifice and some of the stuff, you know, it's really a journey when you go in there. You're like, whoa, what am I doing here, you know? But living there, you really have to, it just blesses you so much. It's so amazing. So has anybody ever read God, A Biography? God, A Biography. It's Karen Armstrong. So, Karen Armstrong.
Case for God. I've read those two. I'm currently reading a book called The Bible.
That's a great book, isn't it? That is great. Karen Armstrong doesn't write anything that's not fantastic.
And then I have read her book on Islam, but I don't know that I've read that one.
God, A Biography. It's one of her early books. Have you read it, Coralie?
I've picked it up many times and not ever read it.
The basic, one of the big things in her book, it's very outrageous, I'll just tell you right now. It's the conflict between God, Yahweh, and Abraham. And her kind of take on it is, if this is a story, who are these two characters, and what's the drama that they're playing out? So it goes back and forth. God's winning, Abraham's winning. God's winning, Abraham's winning. So... don't read it if that's just too crazy for you. But it's an amazing book. I always think of that book. I really do. She captured something. So today we're going to talk about point of view. And we're going to move around a little bit to do that. But let's do a little writing first. So point of view. The point of view is a really important decision a writer has to make of who's going to tell the story. You got a story, but who's going to tell it? Who is going to tell it? Is a narrator going to tell it? Is one of the characters going to tell it? Is somebody using third person going to tell it? We'll list the categories in a little while. But for right now, how many people were out seeing the bus and all that? School bus? Everybody?
Yeah.
Okay. So I want our first 2-minute write to be, we were all spectators, but pick somebody else to be in that scene. So you can be a kid who got on the bus. You can be a preschooler who didn't get to get on the bus yet. You can be the driver. You can be a grandparent watching your kids get on, a parent. Pick someone that you were not and write their perspective of that scene this morning. Does that make sense? All right, we're going to do this part. We write, Stephen, we write really short, really fast. The whole point is just keep your pen moving and have fun. And we don't have to read if we don't want to. So. Anybody want to read?
Yeah.
Okay, go for it.
This morning wasn't as cold as the past ones, but as I sat, I hoped I would get chosen. They always passed me over for Pookie, but today he walked right up and opened my door. I coughed a little when he turned over my engine, and I got it warmed up. Then we were off down to the village. It seemed like a special day, since so many people were dressed funny. The antics were all centered around me. Though, it felt like it was my birthday, or at least a tune-up.
Very cool. Very cool.
Anybody else? Anybody want to read?
Honestly, I was holding my baritone horn as I walked with a few others to parade the band before the bus. As the bus approached to pick up the school students, we paraded in front and played our instruments. Unfortunately, I just played the same two notes for over 30 minutes. When the bus finally came back to the school after having been lost, I got off, relieved to be away from that same rhythm and drummer. As I walked away, I finally put the horn back to my lips and played a couple of actual songs.
Oh, great. Thank you.
I heard him doing that.
Ad nauseum.
Anybody else? Yeah.
I'll share. I can't believe my parents are making me do this. This is so stupid. They're dressed in hazmat suits, running around like crazy people, disinfecting the school bus and acting all OCD. Now they're putting shower caps on our heads and telling us to sanitize our hands 5 times before lunch. This is just stupid.
I wonder why all these big people have costumes on. They are laughing so hard. Look. That one has a big brown robe. I have my lion pajamas on. I wonder why I'm on a bus. It's very bouncy. It goes and then it stops. Is this what school is like? When I'm 5, I'm going to go to school. My friend Jack is across from me. What was it like to do this? What was it like to, was it easy? Was it fun? Was it challenging? What is it, what's it like to put yourself in another perspective?
One of the challenges for me was, do I try to actually do a real person, or do I, could I hybridize? And I crossed out a bunch of stuff because it was like, no, that wasn't that person, that was the other person who did that.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so the whole news reporting versus storytelling.
Absolutely.
My modern mind gets caught up.
I got stuck because I wasn't there for the beginning. I was still eating my breakfast. So I got into town and I'm like, what happened then? As the bus. I don't know what happened then. So, yeah.
Let's do some point of view with the Bible. So there's 8 of us, so we can be in pairs. And so I'd like one pair to go up there, and one pair to go on this side, one pair to go back there, and one pair to go maybe in that corner, okay? So when you're in your pair, I want you to think of this verse. This is from John chapter 8, verse 12. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And I'll read it again when we get to our spots. So our job when we get to the spots is to look at the light of the world and to listen and reflect on this verse. Decide who you are from another perspective. Maybe you are girls in Pakistan. Maybe you are baby today. Maybe you are the staff who left yesterday. Maybe you are a young person in a gap year. Just decide between the two of you something about who you are. Listen again, look at the light, and rewrite that verse from your perspective. So you're going to decide who you are, and you're going to rewrite one verse, I am the light of the world, from your perspective. Okay? It's a creative exercise. Have fun. Okay, so two people over here, two people back there, two people on this side of the balcony, maybe in that corner, and two people, yeah, you get lost behind this, so one of these corners up here.
Okay?
You two want to mix it up?
Yeah, we do. We don't want
to. She doesn't want to.
All right.
Okay.
Where do you
want to
go?
So which of the two do you want?
Yeah.
Now pick one.
Come on, Stephen. You're not going.
So
you're going upstairs.
So
why don't you guys go upstairs?
Okay.
We'll go this way.
There's only one of the
Okay.
Okay. So I'll read it once more once everybody gets seated. And wait a minute, they went up for coffee. Can you believe it? I'm just kidding. They left. Oh, good. I was hoping you didn't leave.
We couldn't figure out how to get out of here.
I know. That's confusing what you get.
If you guys want chairs, why don't you sit over there and you guys go up to that corner? How about that?
Okay.
All right.
Should we shuffle our corners down here then? Do piano bench in that corner so that we're opposite?
This is the Gospel according to John, the 8th chapter, beginning with the 12th verse. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. All right. So can you guys, can we hear each other? Anybody not be able to hear? Okay. So I am the light of the world. We'd like to hear from you guys first about who you are and how you interpreted this verse from your point of view.
Us? Okay. We took it from the Pharisees' point of view.
The Pharisees. Okay,
these guys
are the Pharisees.
Okay. We say, we heard this interloper say that he is, quote, the light of the world. He said that any who did not follow him were in darkness. We do not agree with this and challenged his assumption. He claimed to know where he is going and where he has come from. We know where he came from, a hick from Nazareth. He claims to judge unjudgmentally, which is nonsense. He also claims to have a close relationship with God, which we doubt. This is heresy.
Wow, the Pharisees, ooh, the light. I think you guys were done early. Tell us who you are and what you mean.
A little bit different. We should have chosen someone else. Huh?
You guys.
You're on this level.
On this level.
Okay. This is from the point of view of a fetus that did not come to term.
A fetus that did not come to term. Okay.
I have not seen the light of your world, but the light of life is fully in me. Jesus knows me, and I am embraced.
Thank you. We were the opposite end of the spectrum. We looked at the light from the perspective of a person who's dying today.
I'm hoping Jesus is the light of the world. How will the light of life continue for me? I know my family will continue in the light, I'm trying to follow, but how do I do that in pain? You know that pain, Jesus. Stand and stay with me now. Keep the lights on in the room, please. I want to bless my surrounders with the light, too. I see the light on the faces that are around me.
Jesus Christ is the light of the world. How did you two interpret this?
So, where a 10-year-old kid from New Orleans, his house was destroyed in a Sunday school class, and the Sunday school teacher says, "So, what does that verse mean?" And this is the 10-year-old's response. Jesus said, "I will give you light. He will help us to have light and see things. If we follow him, we will understand." Period.
We were a slow 10-year-old.
Will you read it again?
Jesus said, "I will give you light. He will help us have light and see things. If we follow him, we will understand."
Thank you. Thanks to everybody for doing this. What'd you think? Was it hard? Was it easy? What did you learn? What did you learn by doing this? Okay. Well,
see the world in another perspective.
I think it forces you not to just read over it. It's just such a familiar verse that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And well, do you guys have a Bible up there?
Yes.
Okay. You guys have a Bible
yeah.
up there?
Yeah.
All right. You guys can come back over here. You guys stay put for a moment. You two come back over.
You want me back
yes,
over?
Yeah, you come back over.
Yes.
All right. I love bossing people around. We're
going
to do another story because since you guys are up there, I want you to hear this story. From a different point of view, okay? And the story is the rich man and Lazarus.
Woo.
So we're the narrators. You guys come on over here. So Coralie, Mary.
Did you want us to have our Bibles open?
Yeah, let's
okay.
stand here. We'll stand here as the narrators.
Chapter
we're going to be in Luke 16, beginning with verse 19. Going to go all the way to 31. So you guys get to pick. You want to be Lazarus or the rich man? You want to be Lazarus or the rich man? Which one?
Lazarus or
Luke 6.
Did you say Luke 6?
Fine, we're
Luke
Lazarus.
16. Lazarus. You guys are the rich man, okay?
Okay.
Let's go
man.
Over here, Corey.
All right, we're walking around.
All right, so we're going to read the narrator parts together, and then we'll stop, and you guys read your lines, okay?
Now, presumably we're reading from the same version of the Bible.
NRSV, NRSV.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, NRSV up there?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right, so you guys are Lazarus,
so
and you guys are the rich man. I want you to...
19.
Thank you.
I want you to hear this story in this space, all right?
So we're just reading in unison?
Yes.
Okay.
There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out,
"Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames."
But
Abraham
said, "Oh, you're Abraham. No, Abraham's over here.
Okay.
Sorry, one of you is Abraham.
The other Abraham.
Child, remember that in your lifetime, it's awfully dark in here.
Abraham from
Louisiana. But there we are. During your lifetime, you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Nyan, nyan, nyan. Besides all this, between you and us is a great chasm that has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can come across from there to us.
He said.
Then, Father, I beg you to send him to my father's house. For I have five brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will not also come into this place of torment.
Abraham replied,
Are you nuts? They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them.
He said,
No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent.
He said to him,
If they would not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead.
This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Come on down, you guys. Come on down.
The price is right. Come on down.
Come on down.
Here's the door right here. You find it. Get out. Get in and get out.
These are some different kinds of points of view for if you're a writer. Objective point of view, just the facts, ma'am, and that narrator is not necessarily telling about the interior feelings of the characters. This is kind of the point of view you would use in nonfiction, although, you know, nonfiction you need to sprinkle with anecdotes and figure out the point of view of those as well. So that's that. The second one, I kind of put these in the reverse order here, is third person point of view. And the third person point of view is a non-participant still, standing outside of the story, but knows the character's feelings and isn't afraid to tell you. So you always have someone who is between the reader and the action of the story. You always have someone between the reader and the action of the story. Think about fiction mostly. That someone is telling the story from his or her point of view. So they've got the story, they're telling it from a point of view. A big decision for a writer, which point of view. First person point of view, that person participates in the action. That one is right in there. They're still between the reader and the action, but they're in there too. And then the last one, you know, a spiritual term used in the secular world, the omniscient point of view. What is that? What is an omniscient narrator? What does omniscient mean?
Knows everything.
Knows everything, exactly. In our world, who's omniscient?
The president. No, I'm just kidding.
Santa Claus.
Okay. That's a good one.
I know.
The tooth fairy.
Asked you guys a question. Okay, God's omniscient. And the omniscient narrator knows all, sees all, and is standing outside of the story. So what would the Bible be written? Which kind of point of view would the Bible be written in?
Well, there's different, depending, there's multiples, depending
exactly.
on what you're reading.
Exactly. So give me an example.
Start with Genesis, I'd say that's omniscient. That's,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
big picture, I know how this is going to end.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
The Song of Songs is a first person.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, the Gospels, I think, would be first person, probably Mark, Matthew, Mark.
Mm-hmm.
Luke, John, mm-hmm. maybe.
Luke would be third person.
No, Luke is Easter.
You know, who's reading Karen Armstrong, the Bible? Who's reading it?
Yeah. I haven't got to that.
This is a lot about how we see the Bible, isn't
right,
it?
Right.
Who wrote it and
yeah.
how? That's I love that book. That's such a great book.
I would say that the Gospels were written third person, but perhaps the person writing them thought they were omniscient.
Inspired omnisciently, huh?
Well, which of the four Gospel writers, assuming that there's one individual wrote each Gospel, it's on a compilation or something,
yes.
actually knew Jesus in person?
Mm-hmm.
No. Luke certainly did.
No, no, no. Luke writes later.
It depends if John is the beloved disciple.
Which John?
Which John?
Or someone assuming the name.
Now, the you know, Paul's letters would be different. I mean, he was there and on the ground.
Yeah, and he writes first person. I told you.
But these are letters. Yeah. These are letters, too.
Right.
Yeah. What about Psalms? What about Psalms?
Attributed to David.
Attributed to David?
Some of them are first person.
First person.
Yeah.
I thought they were the closest thing you could get to first person in the Bible, except for one other one I thought of.
The Song of Solomon.
Song of Solomon.
Well, Revelations.
Revelations. Mm-hmm. You guys are coming up with way more than I did. What about Job?
And you spent how many years?
Yeah.
What about Job? I told you I didn't learn enough. See, I started like that.
You spent all that money.
Job is third person.
Job starts third person, then all of the dialogue is first person.
First person.
Yes, the dialogue is first person.
Right.
But
it is being watched by someone.
Yeah,
yeah.
Right. It's being recorded, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay. We'll play with that some more. Theological junctures for this kind of, how does this literary element of point of view cross with faith issues? And these are some things I thought about. It's work to see how another person tells the story. It's really work to see that. But that's exactly what Jesus did. He saw how someone else told the story.
You call it work, but I think it's play.
You think it's play?
Yeah, because it gives you an opportunity to play in a whole different perspective and viewpoint. And so, to me, as much as it's work, it's also play, because you...
I have heard
get to do dress up.
Yeah.
I have heard the cries of my people. I think it would depend on which perspective you're going to tell.
Yeah.
Is it fun to tell the perspective of girls in Pakistan and Afghanistan? But that's what you do.
But I add the hope. and I mean, the hope is there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they captured you. I mean.
Absolutely.
Yeah. They gave you the hope. Yeah. And then the other thing that really occurred to me as I reflected on this is that the story belongs to the community. It doesn't belong to any of us. But we all tell it our own way. So we all have a point of view, but the community owns the story, especially our story of faith. Mm-hmm. That each of us is called to tell it from our own place, called to tell it. So if we're not telling it, we're missing that opportunity, that mystery. But the story doesn't belong to anybody. It belongs to everybody, especially the story of our faith. Does that ring true? Mm-hmm. Was that wise?
That was deep.
That was omniscient.
Wise. Thank you. That in the class, wise. No, I love that. And I thought of Joanne, especially, you know, in the Native community, that the story would really belong to the community, but
exactly.
That it keeps passing. An oral tradition, you know, the story belongs to. So your point of view is about who tells the story. A writer has to decide who tells the story. Each of us is born to tell the story. It's our point of view. All the other people in God's world tell the story. Point of view is about who tells the story. God is about who made the story, who gave the story. And all of us are about who shared the story. So we each see the unique thing that we have is our vision of the story. The thing that we share is the story. So we have each of those. And how we love your neighbor, the greatest commandment. I think that's about point of view and telling the story. From our point of view about the story. The other thing that really occurred to me about point of view, and I thought about it when you guys, and when we were all doing this, is point of view comes from our vision, but it comes from behind us too. It's almost like we have eyes in the back of our head, because it comes from the experience of generations, of our life, of what we've heard. Everything we brought about an unborn child, a dying person, New Orleans, the Pharisees, it all came also from our experience. So our point of view is not just forward, it's backwards. That didn't turn out right, did it? But you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Your points will win.
We look back as well as forward for our point of view and around.
Our point of view is backward.
Sure. Our perception becomes
until right. Now, but it's hard to have a point of view forward ahead because it'll change. Mine won't be now. Mine wasn't before this session what it will be afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Well, you almost have to have some experience behind you to have a point of view. You can't just, point of view just can't, to my mind, can't start with a blank piece of paper and you're going forward. You have to call upon what you have experienced in the past to give you a perspective to go forward. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it works backward. It comes from, more from behind you. What comes behind you sets what goes forward.
That might be an operational definition of maturing.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. We all grow up for sure.
For me, I get very concrete about it. You know, what does Holden Village look like? Depends upon where you stand.
Mm.
And, you know, if life is a journey, what does life look like right now? Well, different from where it did yesterday because I've traveled further.
Right.
I'm standing in a different spot.
Mm-hmm. And we see where each other is too. We've been walking the labyrinth in the morning, first thing, and there were three of us this morning, and sort of seeing where each other might be and wondering about their point of view from that place too. So, yeah, thank you for that. Anybody ever watch Point of View on PBS? Do you know this show? You can go to the Point of View website and watch the most amazing documentaries. We just saw one about a guy in Australia who goes out every year. He's a photographer, and there's this lake that is a dry lake. He rides out there on his bicycle with a trailer behind him with his photography equipment, big cameras, his own dark room that he makes with this little tent. And he lives in his tent for a couple months out there because it's a place where you can see the horizon in a specific way. And he longs for clouds to take pictures of the horizon and the clouds. And you guys gotta go see this. It's like 5 minutes long. It's called Salt.
Salt.
Because this lake is kind of like a salt flat and there's little cracks in the earth and he gets salt out of those cracks. And he uses it to wash his pots and pans and to season his food. It's just amazing. And when you see his pictures, it'll knock your socks off. He has pictures of meteor showers. He has pictures of light. You know, he'll have this open exposure thing. Oh, it's surreal, his pictures. They're amazing. Point of view. Some questions. Oh my gosh, we're going. A lot of pastors and teachers will do this. You know, you look at a Bible story and you say, who am I in this story? You know, who am I in this story? Point of view. I think another important question is, who am I not in this story? Who am I not in this story? And why do I not want to be that? Mm-hmm. You guys are the Pharisees, or somebody was the Pharisees, but for you. Who am I not in this story? Are you telling your point of view of the story? Are you telling your point of view of the story we share? Are you telling it? Are you telling the point of view of the story we share? How am I acting like the story belongs to me? This is a really big question for me. How am I acting like the story belongs to me? I'm trying to do a book, and I get really paralyzed. And then I go, because I'm afraid somebody else thinks it's really stupid or something, or I didn't get it right. I'm acting like it's my story to tell, or I'm competing with somebody for the story or something. But it's our story to tell. And will I light a candle back at home? That's another question. Just one more thing in a prayer. Do you know this during Marie Montessori? Did you know she was a religious educator first? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The whole godly play and all comes out of Marie Montessori.
Yeah.
And she has a quote that I always love, which is, every Bible story has a road into it, and our job is to find that road. Every Bible story has a road into it. Our job is to find lot when I'm getting my sermon ready. One more beautiful prayer for this day. When justice burns within us like a flaming fire, when love evokes willing sacrifice from us, when to the last full measure of selfless devotion, we demonstrate our belief in the ultimate triumph of truth and righteousness, then your goodness enters our lives and we begin to change the world, and then you live in our hearts and we, through your righteousness, behold your presence. Amen.